So, you the wizard?
What is that?
Fire from the gods.
I don't know.
Power glove.
Jeez.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
This week in your parents' basement, we're venturing across the country, or I guess from Utah to California via Reno, with our autistic video gaming kid brother in 1980s Fred Savage vehicle, The Wizard, just in time for the Oscars. I'm Steve Greenwald, and with me is the regular co-host that knows all about the river demon, it's Todd Brisket.
It's not like I'm cutting tags off mattresses, Pop. It's just a video game. Ooh, I'm Christian Slater, man.
Yeah, so many stars in this film. And our other regular co-host, he prefers Jenny Lewis to Rilo Kiley, is Huell Hauser.
Pick any game you want. I'm good at all of them.
Oh, yes, and we'll get into some of his other interests as well later in the show. Joining us today is a special guest. We needed both a magnificent game player and a California native to help us analyze this film. It's Backsack.
California.
California. California.
Oh, my God. That's like his one line of dialogue throughout the film. Thank you for joining us, Backsack.
You're welcome.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to yppodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, yppodcast.com. This week's movie is The Wizard. Released for the Christmas season of 1989, The Wizard is the plucky story of three miscreants hustling adults out of money at arcades. It is a bizarre fever dream of a movie when I watch it as an adult, but it was one of my favorites as a kid because there's lots of video game footage, including Super Mario Brothers 3 at the big tournament at the end. Backsack, you are our guest this week. Had you seen this one before, and what did you think of it?
It had been a hell of a long time since I've seen it, and this movie is fucking bonkers.
Oh, yeah. It's very weird.
This is one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's supposed to be a fun video game movie, right?
Yes.
But it's incredibly dark.
Yeah.
And it's got tones of child molestation in it.
It battered and robbed children, divorced, dead sisters, you know.
Yeah. Child death. Is like one of the main plot lines.
People try to murder people with a car. There's juvenile delinquency, gambling, kidnapping, false allegations of child molestation. More assault and battery. There's grand theft auto.
And underage gambling.
The most ridiculous? Threats of golden showers.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what was that part?
Someone threatens to whiz on someone.
It's true. Oh. It's like, I'll show you the whiz or whatever. It's like, I'll put the whiz in the wizard. I forget what he says, but it's something like that.
He said like, oh, he's going to whiz on someone. And someone's like, oh, I hope it's you.
Yeah, it's the power glove. Lucas,
yeah.
Yeah.
What a card.
Anyway, this movie was nuts.
Yeah, this was my first time watching it. It's like one of those legendary movies that I should have seen, but I just never did. And this I didn't know what to expect. Like, I thought they were just like arcade people that just play games all day or something. But this is like a road trip movie of three weird one possibly homeless and two weird brothers trying to get to the video game contest in California.
California.
What is it? Video Armageddon.
Video Armageddon. Armageddon.
Yeah. The oddly named.
But that's not. I mean, the movie. Let's start with the movie opening, which is a long shot away of like a 5-minute generic rock song from the late 80s. And it's just a little kid walking on the highway. And that's all it is for 5 minutes.
I watched every second of that opening.
It's called character development, guys. Come on.
Yeah. It's called getting you into the world of the film.
I mean, the video Armageddon doesn't even really come into it until like 30 minutes in when they meet Jenny Lewis.
And that's not even the real reason they're going to California. It's all a bait and switch.
Yeah.
It's all a MacGuffin.
Yeah, Fred Savage only knows that his kid brother is like obsessed with California and really wants to go there. he doesn't know why.
No one does.
Yeah.
I thought they were never going to explain it, and I was like, that was my complete expectation.
No. Then you find out at the end that it's I don't know, he wanted to leave some mementos behind where he and his sister last had some tender moments, apparently.
Yeah, how'd she die again?
I think she drowned.
She drowned in front of him.
Okay, yeah, drowning is the classic sibling death in these kinds of things.
Right in front of Jimmy.
Yeah, it's what Woods, ties...
Or as I like to call him, Lester Diamond.
What?
You guys haven't seen Casino?
Oh.
Was that him?
It's Jimmy Woods.
Oh, okay.
Where are you? Ooh,
that's
Where are
a good
you?
One.
You're in that place.
You're in that place.
James Woods.
Jimmy
I get
Woods.
It.
You get it.
Jimmy Woods.
Jimmy Woods.
Took me a very long time.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Where are you? You're in that place. Oh, man. That's all I was thinking while I was watching this movie. That and why does everyone think that poor kid is retarded?
Well,
because he is.
There's nothing outwardly wrong with him. Just everyone walks up and they're like, oh, what's with this kid? He's shy.
What's wrong with this guy? He's just shy.
Well, you know, it was the 80s.
That's true.
They didn't have words. They didn't have words for the spectrum yet.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is when did Rain Man come out? Because this is basically the kid version of Rain Man.
Yeah,
but at least Rain Man had some outward signs of autism. This kid.
Oh, what were those? What were those, Backsack? Can you demonstrate them?
Definitely a very good driver. Wapner.
California.
Same thing.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, this is well they jammed up like every 80s trope. Like there are no parents pretty much for Jenny Lewis in this movie.
Oh, Jenny Lewis.
Ha. And then Fred Savage's parents and Jimmy's parents, I guess, are like the other end of the spectrum where they're like super overbearing the entire time.
Yeah.
Not the stepdad. Bateman?
Huh?
Bateman. Oh, yeah. He had the change of heart at the end, right?
Mm.
Yeah. He was one of my favorite characters.
Well, he was the most realistic character in this movie. That's why. He was the only actual human in this thing.
Didn't he hire the weirdo, the track
the
private, him down?
Yeah, the bounty hunter. Yeah.
Putnam?
Yeah.
Putnam.
Putnam. The child bounty hunter.
Those are my two favorite characters, Bateman and Putnam. They're the best.
Well, here's my deal with this movie is the whole B plot of Putnam versus Bo Bridges.
Yeah.
And
why are they fighting?
Well, hold Bo on, Bridges think... would want he would want Putnam to succeed. He wants
he would want help. Yeah.
And by the way, if
that never occurred to me.
If you're Putnam and you get into a noble pursuit such as returning runaways to their families,
for money,
wouldn't you be totally okay with someone finding him first? But instead, he treats the dad.
But he doesn't
as
get paid. He brought that up. He said if he doesn't find him first, he doesn't get paid.
Then why are you in the kidnapping business, the kidnap return business? Come on.
My question about Putnam, along with all these other questions, how much is this dude making? Because he goes to the so many ends to get this happen. Like they need to put a dollar value on this because he's
worth at least like an 86 Oldsmobile.
Yeah, he smashes his own car. He gets beat up by truck drivers. He gets arrested. He gets like his face smashed in, and he's still trying to get these kids back. What the hell is he getting paid?
I don't know. It sounds like a lucrative line of work. You should look into though.
It's at least Todd Like Todd said, it's at least worth an 86 Oldsmobile.
I did read as prep an interview with the director, a Q&A. So two things already based on what we've talked on. The original cut of this movie was 2.5 hours long.
Oh, I need to see that.
Wow. I hopefully it had more video game footage because it was pretty abysmal in this one.
It has not been released because they've only done bare bones DVD releases for this, like not even with a director's commentary or anything like that. All the video game footage was recorded by like a Nintendo employee. I believe I read somewhere where it's just,
is it that
Johnny
that guy
Nintendo's?
That guy in the call center did he record all the footage
no,
for him?
No, he is also an actor. It was someone from Nintendo, and that's part of the reason why it's badly out of sync at times. But that's also why like they're not actually playing any of these games. Like what they're doing doesn't correspond to what's on
my, one of my favorite tropes in video games on movies is whenever they're like slamming controls. They're like hitting all the buttons. Hang on, let me like going wild with the controls.
Yeah, the one scene
but it's like during a cutscene of a video game. Like they're doing it. He was doing it during the intro of Double Dragon, where it's that dude that comes out and punches that lady in the stomach.
Yeah,
also known as Steve's favorite scene in video game history.
That's
where
he's
like slamming on the controls. Like for 5 minutes while that cutscene goes on, and then
well, there's a big part when Beau Bridges plays Ninja Turtles overnight. When they cut to him in the morning, like he's doing that thing where he's pressing 13 buttons a second.
Going well, I guess that's how you beat that game. I could never get far in that one. Maybe
that's
how you
the secret.
Beat it.
Yeah, that's the secret. That's how you beat Mecha Turtle.
there is also like a 6 minute YouTube video all the NES things that the wizard got wrong.
Oh boy.
And that's one of the few things that they say, no, that's okay, because he said he did it in the past. He had got into Mecha Turtle.
What?
And almost beat him. So
oh. I'm confused.
So that
that's
was
how
like,
that's how I understood it though. He got into Mecha Turtle and he couldn't beat it.
Yeah, that's one of the few okay parts of video game footage in the movie. Like the entire last 5 minutes of them playing Super Mario Brothers 3 makes no sense at all. Like the points go up randomly. They're telling him to get the star so that he gets more points. That doesn't give you points. And it's just madness.
And they made a huge deal about losing lives, but it seemed to make no difference whatsoever.
It does not in that game.
No.
I didn't have a huge deal problem with that. What I did have a problem with were those middle aged businessmen just hanging out.
Oh yeah,
I
love
video
that.
Games.
Yeah. I noticed that for sure. They were like arcade experts, and they were at least 55
50.
or higher. Yeah, they were like business. Yeah, like they were like traveling businessmen.
They just got out of a high powered corporate lawyer meeting.
Need to throw down on Double Dragon.
A little Double Dragon.
I sell. Bye. What a day. Chris Bubble Bubble.
Yeah. Let's go play some games at the arcade.
Those guys made no sense. They got hustled.
There are a lot of confusing character motives in this movie. Like the truck driver who helps out the runaway constantly.
Yeah, the guy that if you see Spanky and Jenny Lewis walking around together, you know. Like Spanky abducted Jenny Lewis.
Well, that's explained because later he's one of her dad's truck driver friends. Mm-hmm. So when that fleet of truck drivers stops Putnam on the road, Spanky's one of them.
Yes,
and then he brings them back. He drives them down to Video Reno. Armageddon to Reno. No, from Reno to L.A. Doesn't he drop them off?
Yes.
at the contest.
Oh yes, you're
but
correct.
He wasn't one of Jenny Lewis's dad's truck drivers because he stole that truck, or maybe he's such a good truck driver that he can just take whatever truck he wants.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was like literally stole it. I think like he was supposed to be driving his route, and he's like, well, I guess I'll take these kids instead.
Yeah, I guess I'll
that's
help
what it
this
sounded.
Little girl. I'll help this little girl out, beat up some random guy. Although she did say that he touched her breast, so.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's a noble guy.
Clearly, the
take
most
care of business.
the most uncomfortable part of this movie.
Yeah.
Is she knows enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something clearly happened. Because she knows enough to accuse adults of touching her, and then that would mean the adults go away.
Mm.
it's like the plot of that South Park episode.
Yeah. Well, she's portrayed as like the street savvy of the of the trio.
Exactly. I thought she was
just a little junk rat.
Yeah.
Well, it's unclear. Do they explain why she's out in the middle of Utah or wherever the hell they live?
She was going on a truck ride with her dad, and her dad sent her home early. That is the explanation in the movie.
That makes sense. By herself. Yeah.
By herself, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and they are at a bus depot. That's where they
are. I think she was waiting for the bus to Reno or whatever.
Then she misses her bus because she bets the money against Jimmy. Like
right.
She plays him in Double Dragon.
And gets destroyed.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we've explained this to anyone who hasn't seen it, but Jimmy is the titular wizard of this movie. And he's so good at video games, they're able to hustle their way, making video game arcade bets, down to L.A. to get to this to get to California. So that is the wizard in The Wizard.
Where did they end up?
Was it L.A.?
Yeah.
It was Universal Studios, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was California.
California.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
That makes sense now. Okay. California. But,
California. Ninja. Wow. Is that a...
That was
is
a great
that your hard work there, Todd, or is that a YouTube video?
No. That's just a YouTube video.
No.
I mean, yes, I did have all that clipping myself.
Video audio master.
I mean, we are professionals and we do this show for a living, so obviously I put in all the time and effort.
Oh yeah, of course.
So I mentioned the most uncomfortable part of this movie, but I've two more in my uncomfortable rankings. For the wizard, number
I like
two
that
is
a kid's movie has uncomfortable ranking moments.
More than one moment to make a list of them. Second is when they fight the other truck driver that they're in the back of the truck with. Like he's giving him a ride and he throws him in the back with like their
the cow farmer guys.
Oh, cow! It was a cow or a pig. So they're in the back with these with the cow and they're up there counting their money. And the driver like catches a glimpse of these 20s in his rear view, immediately stops the truck and tries to steal the money from these kids. So he's physically assaulting them, and then they end up like beating him up to the point where he drives away. That was a very weird
did
scene.
Steal their that was weird.
Like right? What
they were just being kind of nice, giving a cute little teenage girl a ride in their truck. But
yeah,
then
I
they
mean
saw
that's just common courtesy.
Common courtesy, but then they saw that they're counting their money, and they actually had money, so they pulled over.
His eyes actually had dollar signs in them as soon as he saw the mirror. Stops the truck dead and tries to assault these children and
that
steal
was
their
disturbing.
Cash. So weird. It was like $80. Like, what's this guy doing? Is the cow business that low right now? Like, what's going on, farmers? So that's the second most. And then number three is the underage waitresses they have in the casino arcade that were selling like bubblegum and soda.
Yeah.
Like similar to how casinos have the servers that come around with free drinks. It was very strange.
Yeah,
you got to keep them pumping those quarters in the machines.
Get them all sugar rushed up so they're hitting the buttons faster and playing these games.
Yeah, you're not exaggerating. They were like 15 or 16 year old call girls or something.
If that, it was very weird. No, not call. Steven. Yeah, they were cocktail waitresses. They had the tray and everything. It was full of candy. It was so weird. Like, that doesn't exist, does it? It's freaking weird.
Yeah, I'll go out limb and say that does not exist.
I'm going to go down the casino and find out. Special Huel investigates.
Can I add the fourth uncomfortable moment is basically all of the Power Glove scene with Lucas.
Oh yeah.
Well, I only had a top three, so I guess I could make that number four.
It wasn't uncomfortable as much as it was just awesome.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing that people know about this movie that haven't seen it, because I always knew about the Power Glove, and I thought I thought the movie like revolved around the Power Glove. I thought that was like the plot of the film.
Yeah,
I had no idea. But everyone knows the Power Glove.
For me, I've seen clips and bits and pieces over the years, but this is the first time I've sat down and watched it front to back. So I was kind of in the same boat. I thought the Power Glove played a little bit more of a part in the movie, just because that is what I know about this thing.
So
the Power Glove and Mario Brothers 3, that is it. And the disabled brother.
Right.
According to the director, Todd Holland, Nintendo brought
Spider-Man?
Did he do Spider-Man?
He played Spider-Man.
Todd Holland?
He was Spider-Man.
What about that scene?
He is Spider-Man. Yeah, what about that scene? In that latest Spider-Man movie. What was the deal with that?
Oh, that guy. Listen, I don't watch new movies.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the new Black Panther yet either. I'm not woke yet.
It's because you're a racist.
You are unwoke.
Yeah.
I went the second week because I didn't want to take a ticket away from someone who deserved to watch it more than me.
Oh, yes. The director Todd Holland said Nintendo delivered the Power Glove in like a guy came with a briefcase, and he thought that was a cool idea, so he put it into the movie. Like he had
was that the briefcase in the movie?
He did not specify, but yeah, why not? I imagine it was.
Yeah, sure. I think smoke came out of it when they opened it.
Yeah, I loved how Lucas he had like a satchel with all of his games in it, and he was just like looking at his Nintendo games.
It's like a tape deck, not a tape deck, but like one of those tape cases. Only it was just full of games, full of NES games.
Oh, well,
he said all 97 games.
All 97. He knows them all.
that is, I think I still might have one of those. I had one of those for my NES games, although.
But the
I had like the. It was like a long. It looked more like a shoebox, though. It wasn't like 90 something games. It was like 20.
This is like this was like a zip up case with a shoulder strap. But it just occurred to me, they're sitting outside the arcade, and he's like, "I'm gonna pull up my cartridges out, pick a game." And like, it's not like they can go into the arcade and like play a cartridge.
No, they walked into that same building and played Nintendo there.
Was there a Nintendo? Okay.
Yeah, that's where he pulled out his Power Glove.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and
I thought he somehow connected it to the arcade machine.
Yeah. Fun trivia fact please. About Lucas. I think Steve might have this note too. Fun trivia fact about our boy Lucas, Jackie Vinson, the actor, from his IMDb page.
What
in 2004? In 2004, Vinson was sentenced to 10 years probation for child molestation and had to register as a sex offender.
Mm-hmm. Oh no. Did he do what Jenny Lewis accused people of?
He pulled a Putnam. Yeah.
What the industry term, pulling a Putnam.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff like after the fact about a lot of these people. Like Luke Edwards, who played old Jimmy Woods there. He's been active pretty regularly as an actor, small parts. His latest role was 2016, A Beginner's Guide to Snuff. So that was his most recent credit, and also in a little show called True Detective. So,
but he's in the second season.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever role he was in, it's not enough to be in the like on the first page of Wikipedia for True Detective. So, it was a little further down.
Season two.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of
boy.
Other other stuff that Todd Holland did, he's actually a somewhat decent director. Mostly good TV stuff, though.
Yeah, like, I looked that up because I was curious. It's a ton of TV.
Yeah, like 30 Rock, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, he's done a couple. The Larry Sanders Show, he was...
He was big in that one.
Yeah.
The Wizard, I think I'm saying the obvious here, but this was just a payday for all these folks. They got all that Nintendo money for making this movie.
Well, I mean, this was like his second feature, so I guess he's just more of a hired gun. But like, do you trust the Nintendo franchise with a guy that's only directed one movie?
Well, I mean, this is a better movie in a lot of different ways than Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Geez,
yeah.
I don't think there's any argument there.
Yeah, like, I think they're both bad movies, but The Wizard is, like, bad enjoyable, whereas Mario Brothers is just bad.
Yeah, this is a movie where, even though it is bad, it's one you can rewatch occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, there's a plot for one, and it's more of a kid's movie than Mario Brothers was, but that makes it, like, more goofy and fun, so it is more enjoyable that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Mario Brothers was trying to be, but
the weird thing with both of these movies is if you just simplified both of them by, like, I don't know, 50%, 75%, I still think that's a better movie. I don't know why we have so many plots here. Like, it could have
what did you
been
find complicated about The Wizard?
The fact that they're going on the run and hitchhiking cross country to play in a video game tournament, and he has a dead sister. Like, there's a lot of...
Let's not forget because of Jimmy's escapades, he was committed to a home.
Yes.
So that's what motivates Fred Savage to go on this trip. He was committed to the
least secure institution I've
ever
seen.
Oh, I have that as a note. Yeah. The door's just wide open. Fred Savage just walks in, says, "Hey, Jimmy, we're going," and then walks right out and hops aboard a Wonder Bread truck. Wonder Bread / Hostess. Well,
you know, it was 1989. It was a different time.
But I mean, wow. It was pretty good.
Between this and The Goonies, there's, you know, it was just a time when kids could just go out and be kids.
Yeah, on the road. And listen to New Kids. Speaking of kids, a lot of New Kids on the Block here.
Oh yes,
yeah, they did have a couple of songs in this.
Very
movie.
Enjoyable. Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, good soundtrack for this one. And by good, I mean very contemporary, very late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, contemporary of the times, which I guess is what contemporary means.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So should we get into the ending? Because you mentioned Mario Brothers 3, and I was completely caught by surprise when they revealed that the game was Mario Brothers 3. So was this like the first look at Mario Brothers 3 for anyone watching the movie?
This was the sneak peek at the time. This is the first that Americans laid eyes upon Mario 3.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big time secret, but it's also like, well, Super Mario Brothers 1 and 2 were really good. So you had to think, oh yeah, they're going to do a third one.
Well, I mean, it's not that they would do it, but that this is footage in the movie. It's almost like a huge commercial for Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, that's I think that's how most people remember this movie now, is that it's just a big commercial for Nintendo. And Mario. Yeah, and Mario
things,
3.
Right? Yeah. And Mario 3 and the Power Glove and Universal Studios in general. That's a big commercial right there.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think all
and
of that
semi-
is yes, and the trucking lifestyle. But I think that's partly mitigated by all of the awkward moments Huel mentions. Like,
yeah, just uncomfortable, I think, is what I call it.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I would just fast forward all the parts with Putnam because I found him terrifying as a child.
Wow, you were scared of Putnam?
Yeah, he was.
Interesting.
He was trying to steal Jimmy away.
He was trying to seem like a nice guy.
He was doing his job.
Trying to return into his parents.
Doing his job.
Yeah, I realize that now.
I forgot. I guess number four on my actual uncomfortable friend would be the host of Video Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. That's,
he is weird. Very creepy. He has a lot of creepy lines.
Yeah, yes. I don't have any clips pulled from him, but...
I did not prepare for this, but I remember how creepy he was.
He was talking in a quiet British voice backstage, but when he got on stage, he was loud and yelling and just saying all this creepy, weird stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, he kept talking about like how beautiful that girl was. It was probably like 12.
Yeah, that nerdy girl with the glasses.
Yeah. Backsacker, have you returned?
I'm here.
All right.
Yeah, the also-ran.
Yes, exactly.
In that movie.
Obviously, they made the girl the worst in the finals.
What a miss.
You miss hot Putnam talk. You miss my ranking of most uncomfortable moments.
Give them those three, quick.
All right, number one is when she accused Putnam of touching her breast. I mean, obviously, that's very weird. Yeah.
Quite uncomfortable.
Number two was when the cow truck driver fights the children for $80. And then number three was the underage waitresses at the casino arcade that were selling the kids candy.
Giving them handouts to keep them
very odd.
Very strange. did you say odd or hot?
I said odd.
Okay, good.
Did you go over the sex offender in the movie?
Putnam? Alleged.
Do you mean Jackie Vinson?
Yes.
Yeah, we did hit on that.
Oh, right.
Lucas, yes.
Apologize to everybody. That was very unprofessional of me.
Do not worry.
Yeah. Are you apologizing? Did you represent him or something? Or?
No. That's pretty good.
I just didn't know if you're the reason why he's got the 10 years of probation, if you weren't quite
right. Right. That ankle bracelet.
Unfortunately, I didn't get that case.
You were upset with how he treated Jimmy Woods back in the day.
Oh, boy.
You're in that place. That was... He got 10 years of power gloves laid upon him.
Oh, boy. Oh man. Did we talk about the announcer who was one of my other favorite characters?
Oh, got into that. So please
got into that. Go ahead.
Go on.
He was amazing.
I thought he was my number four most uncomfortable part of this movie.
Uncomfortable. Most fantastic.
He had some very creepy lines.
Mm.
None of which I wrote down, but
That person's name is Stephen Greaves, and
very close.
You got it correct, Huel. He is British. He's from Warwickshire.
I think Todd said that.
England. Oh, okay.
Because he spoke in a British soft little British accent behind the and backstage, but when he was on the stage, he's yelling in this loud, weird accent.
Loud American.
Other prominent credits for him include Scooby-Doo.
Of course.
Beastmaster, the TV series. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. And just a ton of bit parts. Like 66 credits for him.
Wow.
And one other person we mentioned quickly. The Bubblegum Girl is Jacqueline Lear. She had three roles.
Oh. Good.
Yes.
The Wizard 2.
Yeah.
Backstack's doing his signature bit.
Dipping into the bubblegum.
It's what the people demand.
It's what the people demand.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry. There's also...
Oh, God!
Long day. I'm going through some things here, guys. I'm sorry. Talking on the pod.
The list of just the list of characters for this movie is also great. Where Terry Lynn Nash plays poolside waitress, her one and only role ever. And then there's Armageddon Registrar, and
Arthur Kelly. Oh, that guy was good in the orange outfit.
Yeah, that guy was good.
He had an inexplicable accent.
Yeah.
The slightly racist. Yeah. The slightly racist guy.
Yeah. I also like on IMDb when it's clear that either they or their agent wrote their bio.
Oh, of course.
That's always one of my favorite things. It's like, this actor's the hot new guy on the scene these days.
Lee Arnenberg has a remarkable ability to morph himself into frightening aliens, twisted psychotherapists, lascivious entertainment executives. No, lascivious, I think. Entertainment executives and everything in between, most frequently referred to as a character actor. Arnenberg maintains a flourishing acting career, almost 20 years spanning television, stage, and film.
Wow.
Palo Alto, California.
Hmm.
So, he's staying active. He's in there.
Did you guys catch the subtle dig at Zsa Zsa Gabor and Pee Wee Herman?
Yeah. They said that they were in a movie or something.
As the romantic leads.
That was weird.
To those guys.
It wasn't Paul Rubens. It was Pee-wee Herman.
Yes,
the star of this next movie.
I mean, it would be so unbelievable for those two to be in romantic leads. Therein lies the comedy.
They are such an odd couple. So how could they possibly carry this film? But my favorite thing that I caught. Did you guys see Tobey Maguire as one of Lucas's thugs?
No.
Yeah. Well, he's got a sweet mullet.
I only know it because it's now one of the big things of trivia about this movie.
Yeah.
He's billed as Goon.
Yeah. This movie. Lucas's Goon at Video Armageddon.
Well, he's not even billed as it, like he's uncredited.
Yeah. If you look up Tobey Maguire's page, it's on there as a credit, but it's probably not under like the actual Wizard page. But it's after the first round when they qualify. He's like on the steps with Lucas as they, I think they're running from Putnam or something, and Lucas sees them, and Tobey Maguire's there in like a hot pink shirt and a mullet. It's amazing.
That was foreshadowing his membership in the Pussy Posse.
Yeah, exactly. Who could turn him down?
Him and Leo slaying that puss. All day, every day.
That's what I think about. Leonardo and Tobey Maguire.
That's what I think about.
One and the same. Nothing different between those two.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, apparently he was just an extra. Like,
yeah.
He didn't audition or anything for that.
His stage mom got him that part.
He got $2.50 for the day, and he was out.
And a sweet hot pink t-shirt.
two more notes. One is that unfortunately the director, his favorite part of the movie was filming the scene at Universal where they go like underneath the Jaws exhibit.
You could tell he was way into that.
Oh yeah,
he spent way too much time there.
He was very happy with getting to do that.
Yes.
That reminds me of my favorite moment of this whole movie. When they're at Universal Studios and Bateman, you know, the stepdad, he walks up and they're supposed to be there looking for their missing autistic son, right?
Yeah.
He's got a giant, like, big gulp. he's like, are they there to find their son? Or are they just chilling? You know, hey, maybe we
took the time.
Maybe we don't. But in the meantime, I'm going to have this big gulp.
32 ounces.
You know, it's not really his kid. It's just his stepkid.
Oh, I know. And the wife actually says to him, stop eating.
She does. I remember that. No, I thought, Jimmy was that guy's son, and Christian Slater and Fred Savage were Bo Bridges.
I don't know. So.
It's all Bo Bridges and that lady. Yeah.
They're all his kids?
All his kids.
I thought they referred to Jimmy as their half brother.
I don't know. I can't tell the family really.
Hey, I think the twins.
You know what? You're
the twins,
right. You're right.
The twins were Big Gulf's kids.
No, he's not Big Gulf's kids.
What's his name?
Because he's calling Jimmy his stepkid.
Yeah,
Bateman is calling Jimmy his stepkid.
The other Fred Savage is
and,
his stepkid.
No, Beau Bridges is always calling Jimmy his own kid.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So Fred Savage and Christian Slater and Jimmy are all Beau Bridges' kid.
Correct.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't have to rent this again. Or just watch that terrible YouTube
but
version.
But they do say half brother at some point.
Yeah,
they
he
do.
Totally
yeah,
says
right.
It's his half brother.
So I think because he's mentally handicapped, he's only
I think
half there.
Yeah, he's only half a guy. He's not all human.
Half a brain.
It's only half a person.
California.
But I thought Fred Savage was explaining the lineage to what's her face at some point. I think he said that the dead sister and Jimmy, the twins, are the other guy's kids.
I don't know.
Gulf's kids.
I don't know.
Why does Beau Bridges care so much?
Because his other son is his real son is with them.
Because
it's both Fred Savage and
is Beau Bridges' son,
the special one.
It's confusing.
But the weird thing is that Christian Slater and Jimmy Woods look like brothers instead of Fred Savage, who's this like Jewish kid thrown in the mix.
Jewish kid.
He does have almost a Jew fro.
Yeah,
it's close. It's borderline.
Speaking of Savage, I really enjoyed when he got knocked the hell out by Jenny Lewis.
When he was trying to make some time with her?
There was a couple of them. No, when he put the mask on and tried to scare her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He got sucker punched on that.
That was some Foley work. That
She got him right on the button, and he was out.
He was out. He was totally out.
Making time.
Yeah, so anyway. This is not much of a hero movie for Fred Savage. All he does is get the
kind of a jerk.
He's annoying as shit.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Putnam's the real hero.
Putnam's amazing.
That's true, yeah.
Love Putnam.
Putnam was a guy that Todd Holland knew from like acting workshops.
Nice.
Who he knew as like an over actor, so that's why he cast him.
It's like, hey, I think you could make a good weasel. I got a part for you.
Yeah, he basically wanted it to be like a kind of humorous villain. Like he didn't want it to be actually scary.
Well, that didn't quite come across for a young Steve Greenwell.
No.
Yeah, backside, you weren't here, but Steve said as a child he was scared of Putnam.
Scared of Putnam?
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
You know what he reminded me of? A shitty Joey Pants Pantoliano.
Yeah.
He's kind of like Joey Pants in Goonies. He's kind of like the same guy.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Get that bleep.
Oh, this talk about Putnam reminds me that by the Goofs page. For this movie on IMDb,
it's
like
just a picture of Putnam.
No, it's 3 pages long because there's a bunch of stuff. Like at one point, he gets into the fight with Beau Bridges, and Beau Bridges like uses the shovel to like knock the mirror off his car.
Yes.
Then the next scene, it's still on.
Nice.
That's continuity errors, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe Putnam got it fixed.
How about the goof of Beau Bridges being the worst person at hitting cars with a shovel? Like, just hit the windshield. He's like trying to hit the bumper off of just hit some windows.
The worst person at hitting cars with a shovel. It's a Wikipedia category.
get the Hewley Award for that one.
I'll write that down. Showing up at the Sweeties.
There's just tons of continuity errors. When Putnam grabs Corey at the hotel, he spills Corey's milkshake all over his clothes. In the next shot, his clothes are clean.
Corey?
Fred Corey? Savage.
I think that's Fred Savage's name. I forgot it too until Steve said it.
Do they actually say his name in the movie? I do not recall.
Beau Bridges says it a couple of times.
Oh. And what's Jenny Lewis's name? She says it a bunch.
Ooh la and oh, la.
That's not her name. Yeah.
I don't know what. I always call her Jenny Lewis. I don't know what her name is.
Yeah.
Haley? Who knows? Is it Haley?
Haley, I think.
Haley, yeah.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Where are her parents?
I thought she was homeless.
She doesn't have a mom, and her dad's a truck driver on the road.
Yeah.
That's how she knows all the trucker code. Mm. Boy, what a great movie.
Well, I wasn't on board with the movie until Semi and Angel came on, and then I was fully... I was in.
Send me an angel.
You don't know Send Me an Angel?
Is that a song? Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, the
now.
Song.
Send me an angel.
It's one of the two or three musical montages.
That's the montage, exactly.
Oh, there are two montages. I forgot. I had to mention that. I was very happy about that. Mm-hmm. There are two montages.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember during the arcade scene, they're playing like every game, and it's like, oh, really? You think? I don't know. You think they're gonna have you play Dr. Chaos in Video Armageddon? Like,
their minds were blown whenever they said they're gonna play Super Mario 3, and that's a game that Jimmy Woods hadn't played before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they were so afraid.
That was his power. Was he knew all the games. Same with Lucas.
Yeah, that's why they're the number one and number two players of all time, is because they've played every game.
Well, that part was confusing.
All 97.
But they're stupid kids, so they wouldn't... Like, Jimmy, his whole thing is that he can just play a game immediately, and he's good at it. Like, that's a big advantage he would have over Lucas if it was...
That wasn't really, like, his skill, because they always said, oh, he knows Double Dragon, or he knows Ninja Gaiden, so he'll be good at it.
Yeah, that's how they kind of explained it, but... That's how I understood it, is that he can pick up any game, which is why when you see them playing Mario 3 and they pick up the Coontail, and he's the only one that knows how to fly, because he's able to understand how the game works without playing it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of contradictions in this movie.
You know how to get the whistle.
That's why, I mean, they were so worried at registration, like what the game was going to be, because they wanted to make sure he knew it. And then when it was...
What's weird is that they're going for... It's not like they're trying to see who can get the furthest in Mario 3 in 10 minutes. It's who gets the highest score. All you got to do is get like a turtle shell and hit some bricks. That's all you got to do to get high score.
Mm-hmm. Not for 10 minutes.
If you just keep jumping on a turtle shell and keep hitting against a wall and not getting some coins, that's all you got to do to get a high score.
Well, you should sign up for Video Armageddon then and see how well you do.
You'd do that if you had no integrity, Todd. Come on.
Well, yeah.
By the way, did this dedicated Nintendo helpline like 24/7?
That was the best.
Did that exist? I don't think so.
It did. What? A 900 number. Yeah.
You could just call and there'd be nerds there playing the video game 24/7 and just tell you, here's what you need to do.
Yes. That was a thing. Yes.
The helpline did exist. Yeah. I don't know if it was that specific, where it's like a guy in a cubicle with like every video game or whatever, and a 10-inch TV to play them on. But like,
you need tips for Clue Land? Hold on a second.
that part is real, according to according to the notes. Where yes, they could not bring up the game at any point as they do on the in the wizard, but No, they just had people sitting there playing games. Like, if you're like, oh, I can't get past stage 5 in this game, then they would go to stage 5 and try to beat it with you.
I'm going to travel back in time, and that's going to be my job.
Wow.
Steve, I sent you a certain message. I don't know if you have an ask.
Yes. Now, Todd, I know this isn't exactly... a game that you can play, but can you evaluate the wizard on the DuckTales scale?
Ooh. You know, it's tough because the DuckTales scale is primarily for video games, but I'll kind of cross apply to a movie.
I think I'm going
to
change it, huh?
As we all may not know or be aware, the DuckTales scale factors in two things, those being nostalgia and replayability. In this case, I'll substitute for rewatchability. That being said, you know, I kind of have some nostalgia for this one. I've never really seen it all the way through. I just know the bits and clips, the power glove and all that stuff. So a tiny bit of nostalgia. Rewatchability, it's okay. I mean, it's no Big Lebowski or one of those kinds of flicks where you want to rewatch and get all the little new nuances in it, all the little details, as people say. It's okay for a bad rewatchable. That all being said, I'll clock this one in at a 0.38.
Oh boy.
DuckTales.
0.38.
I got one of the numbers right.
Yeah, I was going to say Huel. I think he went too high up.
I guessed 0.8 cuz I thought you had seen it before, so I was hoping the nostalgia was high.
No.
I remembered you said earlier that you hadn't seen it all. And I was kind of counting on rewatchability also. So I feel shame. I feel a lot of shame.
This is no room when it comes to rewatchability. This is no Big Lebowski. This is no
the one about the kidnapping movie.
Room, yeah, starring another little boy,
yeah,
and the lady, Mrs. Captain Marvel,
another special child.
Well, there is no manual for this one, so I can't ask you, Huel, what your rating would be. I will note one.
Well, you'd be surprised because, as we all know, I rate manuals on the Mario 2 scale. How many Mario 2s out of 5 it gets?
Yes.
And this film did feature Mario 2.
Yeah, it had
Christian
a sound.
Slater playing it. So I have no choice but to give the Wizard 5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Whoa! Oh. This is the most Mario 2-y game of all, movie of all time because
it has Mario 2 in it.
It has Mario 2 in it. I don't think any other movie I've ever seen has Mario 2 in it.
I can't rate it less than 5. It contains Mario 2.
Going a little Seinfeld on this.
Let's go. It has the game in it. What am I gonna do?
My only other note that I had written down here. I don't know how long it takes them to go from Utah to California. It feels like a very
Nine days.
Oh my God.
Close.
According to Google Maps, even if you go Reno, that's 1,100 miles. It's also not clear why they would go through Reno, I guess.
They wanted to go to Jenny Lewis's town. That's where Jenny Lewis lived.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, but it's a significant diversion.
Like, and I thought they would get more money there hustling for video games.
Oh, that's true.
I thought there was like another contest or something.
Yeah, and also, they have the casinos there, and that's where Jenny Lewis uses her psychic crap skills.
Exactly. To get money. That's true. She knows what every role's going to be.
Yeah, it's
party,
like...
Well, party!
Yeah,
made no sense.
It's why didn't she just stay there to get the money to pay for her dad's house?
Yeah, she got 400 bucks in about 10 minutes.
They kicked him out.
Yeah, they just go to another casino, or she can hook up with another truck driver.
No, there's only one casino in Reno.
She could do what she could do what I expect her to do with the theme of how dark this movie is, which is to sell her body.
Streetwalk under the overpass,
get them to California. Exactly.
Yeah, she could have worked as one of those bubblegum waitresses.
I want to see the back sack rewrite of this movie where underage prostitution.
Gritty. It would be like, what's that movie with Harvey Keitel where he shows his wiener?
Oh, Bad Lieutenant.
Bad Lieutenant, yeah.
It would be Bad Lieutenant. Port of Call, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Port of Call, Reno.
Yeah, we are severely overdue for a gritty remake of this movie.
And then Putnam's the real hero. Like he finds her on the street, like ODing, and like takes her to the hospital. Putnam's the one that like rescues her, like Taxi Driver.
Someday a real rain's gonna come down, wash all the kidnappers off the street.
Out of this damn city.
I would pay to see the gritty remake of The Wizard.
Oh boy.
He'd be like the Marv character from Sin City.
That'd be funny. I thought you were going to say Home Alone. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
What are the Wet Bandits?
The only two Marvs in cinematic history.
Marv the Wet Bandits and Marv from Sin City.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I bet Marv Albert was in a movie.
Yes!
We got confirmation.
Up high, down hard. Oh, wait. No, that's Kevin
Down Harlan. Hard.
Sorry. That's Kevin Harlan, not Marv Albert.
Thinking about Jenny Lewis again.
Oh, boy. Isn't Marv Albert the one who had like a prostitute bite his back or something?
Yeah, I thought she beat him up or something.
Yeah, she beat him up.
Yeah, he got into a little trouble for that because he was engaged at the time.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Don't go easy on me. Yes!
Dribble! Dribble harder!
Dribble harder! This, by the way, this movie... It was horrible. Why did you watch this? And I had to watch it. I couldn't easily find it, so I had to watch it on YouTube.
You loved it.
With sparkly stars twirling around the entire time on a tiny little screen. If it makes no sense, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I found that and said, I'm not watching this.
It was really awful.
Yeah, it's not good.
Really bad. Yeah.
No, I loved it. This is a great film.
Yeah, it sounds like you got some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, I guess I did.
I really waited late to lay it on us.
The defense rests. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to add about this one?
Man, no, it's excellent. See it for Tobey Maguire.
Yeah. This is definitely worth at least one watch, as any listener of this show should see this movie at least once.
I had a great fun. Zach, I think we covered most of the games in this movie.
We haven't covered Double Dragon, I believe.
That's true. That's the big one.
Yeah, we've been holding off on Double Dragon because I think at one point we were thinking about doing the movie again. Then we played too many beat 'em ups at this point.
Yeah, I did a rage about that like 2 weeks ago.
You know, Huel said last week, hey, beat 'em ups, beat off.
I don't think I said that. I would remember.
It sounds like something you'd say. Backsack, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
No. Did you guys mention the getting 50,000 on Double Dragon in 30 seconds? Oh, that's slightly implausible.
If you're not a wizard.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that going on in this one.
Yeah.
There's that.
No, nothing else to say.
There's also like, I think I mentioned during Super Mario Brothers 3, their score just goes up by random. Like, you look at the screen and it flashes ahead like 15,000 points. So, yeah, they play fast. Oh, and the other thing is, at one point she's like, oh, he's made it through the first stage of Ninja Gaiden. He hasn't even taken a hit. And they flash to the screen, and there's two bars missing from his life. So he has taken a hit. It's like...
Ninja Gaiden!
Yeah. Now, Todd, I understand, before we move on, you had one last segment here, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we all think this movie is... a pile of hot trash, but I have a couple reasons why.
About that,
I have three reasons why.
Oh,
The Wizard from 1989 is the best movie film of all time.
Yay!
I've been waiting for this. I'm just a fan here.
I love it. True fan.
All right. Well, okay. This first one is called "The Wizard is an 8-bit version of Rayman." I guess that's where it popped up. Oh, no.
I feel like that came up. Yeah.
And it's by somebody named Lipid at 68k.org.
What?
On February 4th, 1999. So this is an old review. Video Armageddon is about to begin. Roger Ebert said, "This may very well be the only must-see movie of the late 80s.
What?
David Chisholm's avant-garde cinema may be off-putting to some, but those people probably have Alzheimer's or deformed limbs. Buy The Wizard today. You won't regret it. 5 stars.
What?
Wow.
I don't know what just happened.
What? Deformed limbs.
Are you convinced yet?
Yeah.
All right. This next one is the one that got me and kind of brought me around on The Wizard. It's called, this review is called The Wizard, and it's by Feely, and is written in March of 2009.
Jay Feely?
Jay Feely.
Jay Feely.
That's great.
I saw Wizard. I know Nintendo Entertainment System. Uh-oh. I know Video Games Championship at Universal Studios in Universal City. I know King Kong at Universal Studios Hollywood. I know Nintendo Entertainment System for Ninja Gaiden. I know Super Mario Bros. 3 for Video Games Championship before release February 1990. I know Universal Studios Hollywood before build Universal CityWalk Shopping in 1993. I like to Universal Studios Hollywood and CityWalk in Universal City. I know Video Games Championship at Universal City in 1989 to 90. I know new Street Fighter 4 tournament at Universal City Walk. 5 stars.
What? What?
So
that person is severely mentally ill. What is happening?
I thought the same thing, but I went and checked out some other review by Feely. And this is for a movie called Room in Rome, which is some like lesbianic romance movie.
I know.
He's just listing you know. Things that happen.
He knows.
And here's his review for that one. You can get a feel why The Wizard got 5 stars. You'll understand when you hear this one. Room in Rome. I know two naked women in a room. I found nudity really. I know two women without clothing. I know naked lesbian. I know a man looked naked woman on the hall near the room. 2 stars.
Oh no. Wow.
Oh my god. That's how I'm so gonna,
wait, that...
that's how I'm gonna formulate everything I do
from now. I've learned so much.
I know. Oh. That's amazing.
All right.
I'm gonna review YPB like that. I know Todd Brisket is the host. I know.
Is he?
You named the only person who hasn't been a host.
You sent emails about that.
Yeah.
I was only highlighting it for you. How ridiculous it is. But Todd hasn't hosted the show yet.
It's very important. Right. Big ask.
All right. One more reason, guys. This is titled "I Thought This Movie Was Good" by an anonymous reviewer on August 1999. I thought this movie was pretty damn good. It was funny seeing that guy who was after Jimmy Woods keep losing him or getting hauled off to jail. It was also funny, too, see that power glove. Right now, the Gragics seem kind of corny, as now we have PlayStation 2 and Dreamcast, which has about 125 bits. Back
That's
in
a
the
lot
80s,
of bits.
Back in the 80s, they had 15 bits. But overall, I enjoyed the movie greatly and was kind of sad to see it end. 5 stars.
Sad to see it end. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this guy knows what makes a good movie. The Gragics.
The Gragics.
The Gragics. So back then, they only had 15 bits on their Nintendo.
Yeah, that's what made it so bad. Now we got at least 120.
So close. He was so close to being right.
So close. Fantastic.
Oh, boy. That was everything I thought it would be.
I mean, there's really no way we can top that with more wizard talk. So we should move along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
Ooh, you know what? I did. And it kind of fits the theme of this show today. Oh. The subject is, why are 90s kids so freaking annoying? Dear jerks, I was watching this video online where it showed the great memories of the 90s. Stuff like games, TV shows, cartoons, music, movies, fashion, etc. Anyways, it really annoys me that some of the 90s kids attack kids who are born in the late 90s or whatever just because they remembered watching shows like Rugrats, Hey Arnold, Rocket Power, The Proud Family. This isn't even a 90s show either. The original Pokemon. I mean, just because the kids were born after 1997 doesn't mean they can't enjoy the 90s stuff. They also brag constantly about how great the 90s were. Yeah, we get it. The 90s were great. What annoys me more is that some of them say that kids born 2000 plus are the era of spoiled brats or crappy music and TV shows. Hey, the 90s had its negative sides too. Geez, some of them act like you're all that and a bag of chips. Renaissance Man, 88.
98? 98. Oh, that makes more sense. Okay. I'd have to disagree with Mr. Renaissance Man. The 90s were the best, and there's no argument. Case closed, as Backsack would say. Oh, I think he's left us again. Yeah, I mean, he's jealous. He's just super jealous. That's it.
It's a lot of jealousy. You know, I would say I'm not really, according to this, I'm not really a 90s kid because he's mentioning stuff like Rocket Power and Hey Arnold. That's a little bit after my time. I'm more of a late 80s, early 90s kid.
You're more of a Ren and Stimpy and Rocko's Modern Life kind of guy?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so was I, but I was a little of everything. I think I was born in the sweet spot. Clearly, what I experienced was better than what anyone else experienced.
Clearly.
I mean, that's the only explanation.
Backsack, as we know, he was born in the era of Rainbow Bright. That's his jam.
What? No, I was more into My Buddy.
And me?
Oh yeah.
Oh, My Buddy.
What about Kid Sister?
My Buddy.
Kid Sister. Yeah, Kid Sister. Teddy Ruxpin.
What was the one that was like a baseball guy?
Baseball guy.
The Bill Burr thing.
Oh, what did he call
that? That was back from like the '60s.
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know about that, dude.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I don't know about that.
R.I.P.
Hey, yo.
You come out here, talk about you, my buddy. Talk about you.
In the back.
Just want to let you know that
Hulk Hogan.
We don't care. Talk about your Bill Burr, my buddy.
Your kid sister. What?
He just changed into Stone Cold.
Talk about your palms.
Oh, we got a voice.
YPP, Macho Man.
He's here.
Oh yeah.
Huel, did you receive any mails?
Huh. Yeah, I got one.
Oh, do you want to read it?
Sure. So I got an email, and it says, Dear YPB, I've been feeling like an outsider, and I didn't know who to turn to. I think you guys would understand. I've realized after years of heartache and confusion that I'm in love with my Super Nintendo. I consider us to be in a relationship, and I want to marry it. I found a minister online to do the ceremony, so it'll be legitimate. All that's left is to pick a date. I wanted to know if you, Todd, and you, Huel, would be at the ceremony. It would mean so much. It did make me wonder, what video game system would you choose to marry? and it's signed Greve Steenwell.
Oh. Wow. So, well, first of all, of course, you know, and yeah. I am an ordained minister.
Okay. Well, I think they already found one. But, so
yeah, I can only marry humans to inanimate objects, so you're in luck.
Oh, cool. Very specific ministry.
Yeah.
It's an interesting question. I mean, if no one else has an immediate answer, I can offer.
Oh, go right ahead.
My answer has logistical concerns behind it, which is, you know, if I'm going to marry a system, I still need to enjoy, you know, wifely duties. And so therefore I would go.
So it needs to cook for you.
No,
no, boy.
Well, we know that no system can offer that. So I'm back to, you know, the most important job of wife, which is to please a man sexually. And any system.
As we all know, that is the most important job of a wife.
Most important job. So I would go with the system that has the largest opening to accept my generous member. And that would be the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Wow. Okay.
That's my answer.
It's got a flap and everything.
It's got a flap.
I mean, if that's all you care about, skirt. You should just get a VCR.
With that oh, boy.
Wait, a what?
VCR.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I said if that's all he cares about, you should just get a VCR.
It's not a video game.
He doesn't date outside his race.
Only video games.
Wow.
So, there you go. NES.
Okay. Great choice. Todd?
I'll go with the, you know what? I'll go with the Dreamcast. It's quirky. It needs a little bit more love. I'll give it to it.
Yeah, you know it'll never leave you.
The Zooey Deschanel of systems.
Yeah. Oh. New cast.
Quirky cult status.
Nice. I chose my one and only true love, the Nintendo 64.
Ah.
No explanation needed.
Your high school sweetheart.
Exactly. We've been through so many ups and downs. I'm looking at it right now. It's never left my side.
Never left your hometown.
What? I'm not in my hometown.
It had dreams, Yule. It had dreams.
But I will say, only if it has the RAM expansion pack.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only way.
My wife's got RAM expansion.
That's the only the only system I'm going to put a ring on.
Oh, man.
That expand. And Reeve, I mean, sorry, Steve, I feel like I know your answer, but if you would like to answer, go ahead.
Oh, well, they didn't. I thought they didn't want me to answer.
No, they just didn't invite you to the ceremony. Maybe you'll already be there. I don't know. But the question was open-ended. Yeah.
Well, I would say I think I'd have to pick the Super Nintendo.
Interesting. Wow. What a coincidence. Okay.
Well, Backsack, we did not publicize your appearance in any way, but did you get an email?
I didn't get any emails. However,
oh,
as is my tradition, whenever I appear, I like to reach out to people and see whether or not they'd like to participate. And this time I had an interesting response. And he's right here. Hold on 1 second. Let me just go get him.
Wonder who it is.
Man.
It's time. Hello, baby.
Hello? Who is this?
Hello, baby.
Is this Mortimer J. Frog?
It's me, the Big Bopper.
Oh, wow. Back from the dead or possibly not dead?
I never died in that crash.
Wow.
Neither did Buddy Holly or Richie Valens.
You've been living together in secret this whole time?
It's true. You know what I like. What's that?
What was it?
What do you like?
Do I what? Will I what? Oh, you know what I like.
I don't know, Mr. Popper. Could you tell us?
Hello, baby.
Oh.
Mr. Bopper, do you have any thoughts on the wizard?
Well, he is like 120 years old right now, so.
Please?
You know what I like.
I'm not familiar with your work, Mr. Bopper. I'm sorry. Could you tell?
Baby.
All right. Sorry, Mr. Bopper.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Sorry about that.
Is he okay?
How do you know that guy?
He hasn't gotten out in a while.
Is he all right? He said like two things over and over again.
It's been a while since he's interacted with humans.
Had human contact.
I think they've been keeping him, I think, below Cheyenne Mountain. It was part of some kind of Illuminati conspiracy.
So part of that world, pact with Buddy and Richie.
Rid the world of rock and roll. They staged the death of the Big Bopper, Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and that other guy. So,
but
it was.
I mean, this is all the government.
There was a fourth one.
It's a conspiracy.
Conspiracy with Don McLean to make that song.
That's right.
Oh, right.
He wanted.
He knew he had a hit on his hands.
Exactly.
The only way to do it.
To have them die.
To murder three rock superstars.
So he went along with it. He's been in hiding, living in a basement, and I was able to dig him up though, and bring him on. Sorry about that.
But you only found the Big Bopper. You didn't find him.
I didn't find the rest of them. And unfortunately, they had no questions about video games. So it's a little bit of a non sequitur, but I thought you would want to talk to him.
Well, he knows what he likes. So, I mean, I can't argue with that. That's incredible.
If there's one thing that we love to do on the show besides talk about video games, it's break down the Illuminati and prove them wrong and destroy them.
And also reveal which once thought deceased celebrities are actually still alive.
Yeah. Okay. I was just going to say, we love to hear from dead celebrities.
This is Vin Diesel.
Wait, Vin Diesel's alive. We know that. It's like the one guy that's actually alive that called it. Yeah. Besides Barack Obama.
Vincent Price.
Oh. Well, that one had an explanation. It was the spoop time.
Yeah, it was the spoop times.
Who else is going to call it?
This is former President Barack Obama.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yeah. We also heard from Macho Man already this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So.
Well, you can thank me later.
No, thank you, Maxack, for bringing on the Big Popper. Muttley is also a guest of yours.
Yeah. It's really, really going to help us with the 18 to 35. Yeah.
Everybody knows what the Big Bopper is, right?
Everyone into video games.
Everyone into video games loves the Big Bopper.
Loves that Big Bopper.
Listen, I can't help who's on my speed dial.
Look, I get it.
Right.
Whoever you find hidden away at an old folks home isn't up to you.
It's either Trump or the Big Bopper. That's all I got.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, Trump's in some hot water, so I'm glad you turned the bopper this week.
He's too busy. Yeah. Glue the bopper.
He's got a round of golf tomorrow. He's turning in early.
Mar-a-Lago.
Next time we can look forward to Elizabeth Taylor.
Can't wait for Charlie Chaplin's appearance.
Silence Taylor the whole way.
Liz Taylor and Richard Burton.
Oh my god.
Anyways,
wow.
I'll do new news quick. We're running a little long. Three quick items.
Forgot.
So Into the Breach, the new game
from
the developers of Faster Than Light that came out.
I think this is the biggest new news of all time for our show here.
It's just shattering new news records.
Yeah, because it's actually new news about a new game. And the original game is from the 2000s. So it's one of the few new games we've really hyped up on here.
I bought it today, and I put in about 20 minutes before we started.
Ooh.
Oh, how was it? Did you like it so far?
I like it so far, yeah. It's very FTL-esque if you're into that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, that's the other reason it's relevant is for how much we've talked about FTL in the show. And this is the new the new game by that developer.
Mm-hmm. Getting rave reviews so far.
Mm-hmm.
The other item, Chrono Trigger just popped up on Steam as well. So
the original version or what?
Yes.
Well, has it got Cheeves in it?
You know, I don't know if it has Cheeves.
If it has Cheeves, I'll probably pick that up. I haven't replayed that one since I played it on my old SNES, the SNES, as they say in the UK.
Do they?
Well, it is. It looks like it's a port of the I guess there's a phone version or something, which some people don't like as much. But I've played it. It's fine. It's Chrono Trigger. The third item is Chapman University, the Leatherby Libraries is having an art exhibit, Golden Parks, Huell Hauser.
What?
From March 4th to May 13th, the legacy left behind by the late TV legend Huell Hauser will continue to educate generations on the history and beauty of the Golden State.
I probably should check my email. I might have been invited by accident. Wow.
It's all about his
I'm not as familiar with his work as somebody like Backsack because he's all based out of
California.
And ooh, I don't know
great magnet.
That.
True.
Maybe they have the picture that Burt Lancaster took or whatever the hell it is.
Oh man, the painting?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite segments of anything.
Yeah.
There might be a statue of Jimmy Woods also in this exhibit.
Oh, God. We can only hope.
I hope so.
Now, Todd, did anyone need help this week?
Yeah, we do have somebody that needs help. I think we might have skipped it last week. Or we didn't skip it. We skipped it a couple weeks ago, so we got to catch up. So
all right.
Let's get this one done and out the door. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. Send all your asks into parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. And remember, we will keep it anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this one's from Anonymous. They did not request to say their name. And it is titled, "Is this true that after your death, you are reborn as a human again?" I mean, like, not straight after your death, but like in the distant future. And also, if this is correct, then this would be annoying. Because being a human is not an easy job, and it'd really suck to start all over again from scratch.
What?
Oh.
Is that the end of the ask?
That is the end of the ask, yeah.
Hmm. Is it true?
Well,
Is it true?
Tell the truth.
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say, writer. Do they have a name? No, it's anonymous.
It's anonymous, yeah.
Yeah, it says an ask. It's hard to say. I mean, if you believe it, you can. It will be true. That's my advice. Is it advice? Mm. I don't think so. What's
I think
going
that's your
on?
Own personal
Someone
belief.
Else has.
It's not really advice.
Yeah, I mean, you don't. You feel it sounds like you don't want to be a human. I don't know what you want to be. That's the biggest question. I think. I'm gonna be like a. Like an elephant or something? I don't know. I don't think they have any predators.
Boring, though.
Anything but a human is boring.
What is even the ask here?
Is it true? Is this true that after true? Your death, you are reborn as a human again?
So they're asking if reincarnation is true.
I mean, I don't know if that's what ask.
Yeah. Well, is that, all right.
They're asking if you're reborn as a human.
Reborn as a human.
That's
you might be reborn as something else, I guess.
True.
Sure.
The true ask.
No.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
I wonder if the Big Bopper knows the answer.
Can you get him?
I don't think that's a good idea.
Is he sleeping?
I think he left.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, all right.
He's got a lot of bopping to do.
He's got
a lot of bopping in the morning.
Be bopping around.
He's all bopped out.
Got to be up early for some more bopping.
Full schedule of bopping. Big time. Big time bopping. Well, Steve, any thoughts?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Here's my thought. If you believe in reincarnation, hey, enjoy your time in the eternal hellfire in your bad, wrong religion, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
Sure.
You can reborn in Satan's service. There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn, that reminds me of something I forgot from The Wizard. Okay. Which is, did you see either the waitress or who was she? Was one of the characters from Donnie Darko? The one who runs Sparkle Motion,
the woman at the restaurant that they find Lucas in,
right?
And later,
right.
Bo Bridges finds.
Yes,
she looked familiar, but now, yes, that's definitely her.
As soon as I saw her, where did I see her from?
Sparkle Motion.
And then I realized she was Sparkle Motion.
That's awesome.
That's great. Anyway,
wow. Thank you. All.
You're welcome. Continue.
I think we're done.
Okay.
Well, on that note, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to add this week?
Yeah, just want to let you guys know, yes, I did get my legs from my showgirl mother.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, there's another part of that movie that's awkward and weird.
It's number 5.
Yeah. Huel, anything else you want to add?
Please sit down and have fun. Just sit down and have fun, damn it.
Backsack, thanks so much for guesting. And of course bring on the Big Bob.
You're welcome.
Our eternal gratitude.
You're welcome.
Anything else you wanted to add before we signed off?
50,000 smackaroos!
Oh, this has been yet another incredible Oscar show. Oh, yeah, that's
really honoring the Academy. Yeah.
The Oscars. So on that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.
We are running out of time. And if we fail, we must wait another 5,000 years.
Well, I don't know about you, but that's more time than I'm prepared to commit to this enterprise.
This summer, the planets will align.
It was the Illuminati who swore to bring their ancestors back to life.
Time will stand still.
Have you ever heard of the Clock of Ages?
It gives its possessor power of the light.
And the fate of mankind...
Eternal hell! Revive!
...will rest in the hands of one.
Don't start.
You're quite an authority on things ancient and mythological.
That's why I travel. It's an ancient clock. It was hidden in a secret room. It glows, but it's getting brighter, like it's counting down to something.
You can build, destroy, move back and forth through time.
The future is yours now, Lara. You're the only one with the strength to destroy the power of the light.
We can be partners.
You might try to kill me.
I'm not going
to
kill you.
I said you'd try.
Time to save the universe again, then, is it?
Absolutely.
On June 15th, the biggest... darkest adventure of the summer begins. Angelina Jolie is Lara Croft.
This is where I start to have fun.